Hello, it is December 8th, 2014. You are looking live at New York, New York. This is episode 455 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports on Earth. I am Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I'm actually coming to you from New York City. I'm in New York for the week for a relative business from all of my various endeavors. I love living in Athens, Georgia, and I'm very happy. And one of the few things that are offset from that is I must make trips back to New York every once in a while because everywhere I write for and work for, mostly Sports on Earth, of course, is based there. So that's what I'll be doing this week. Miss my old home of New York, lived there for 13 and a half years. I will be seeing along with Prince William and the lovely Kate Middleton. We'll be watching the Cavs-Nets game on Monday. And then Tuesday, I will be at Madison Square Garden to watch my beloved Illinois Fighting Illini take on the Villanova Wildcats and Coach Jay Wright, also known as childhood friend of A.J. DeLario, one of my favorite little pieces of trivia. Anyway, so I will be in New York this week. I'm very happy to be here. So on. I'm sorry I haven't had any podcasts for a couple of weeks. It's been the holidays. You understand, right? It's really hard to do them over the holidays with everything else going on. But we are back. We will be doing three more shows before the end of the year, and then we should be back to our weekly schedule come January. But today's guest, I'm very happy to... How's everything else going? Is everybody okay? Everybody's good? I can't hear you. You in the back. Anyway, today's guest is an old friend and an old, obviously, associate of Sports on Earth. It is Steve Madden. He is the author of the new book, Embrace the Suck, What I Learned at the Box. So at the Box or on the Box? At the Box. What I Learned at the Box about Hard Work, Sore Muscles, and Burpees Before Sunrise. It is about the CrossFit experience, the world of CrossFit, his life as a CrossFit person, and how they're not actually as terrifying as you may think. He also is my former boss at Sports on Earth. He is the former general manager of Sports on Earth. But we are not going to bore you with a lot of inside baseball Sports on Earth talk. We're going to talk about CrossFit and how apparently, the only thing you use bicep curls for in real life is lifting alcohol, which is fine. That actually seems a reasonable reason to exercise that muscle. Anyway, so here is my talk with Mr. Madden. We'll be back on Wednesday with trivia, and we'll be back again with a weekly podcast next week. But here is Steve Madden. So, hey, it's Steve. First off, hello, Mr. Madden. I'm calling you Mr. Madden as if you and I we are strangers, and we have never come across each other in any other capacity other than this interview for your book. So, Mr. Madden, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Who is this?
Yeah. It's Mr. Leach if you're nasty, like Miss Janet. First of all, I haven't talked to you for a while. I really don't want to get into any sports nerd stuff other than just say that, as I think everybody knows, I think it's made very clear. I have no major issues with how sports nerd is going now. I do miss you. I enjoyed working with you and still consider you a friend. And I do miss bothering you as often as I did before. Do you miss me?
Who is this?
Madden.
No, of course I miss you, Will. The capacities have changed, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you and get a glimpse inside that world of yours.
Yeah, oh, great. Well, in that case, okay, so let me tell you about some of these terrifying videos I've been watching. Okay, I want to talk about the book. The book is Embrace the Suck, what I learned at the Box about hard work, very sore muscles, and burpees before sunrise. Now, one of the things about, of course, CrossFit, you know, I remember the first time I met you, and CrossFit, as tends to, frankly, when you meet people that do CrossFit, CrossFit came up relatively early in the conversation. And it's funny because a lot of people say they're like intimidated by CrossFit. There's a little part of me that just thinks they're really just saying, I feel fat. There's just something like when they say that, because I feel like CrossFit people tend to, from my experience, people keep telling me that CrossFit people is like they're all too, super intense and so on. Generally speaking, the main takeaway I come from seeing people that have done CrossFit is that they're just in really good shape and tend to be happy because of that. Your book is this interesting kind of mix between the joy that you get from being in CrossFit and actually how miserable the process is.
Yeah, I mean that's why it's called Embrace the Suck. Embrace the Suck's a phrase that, you know, as far as I could tell, had its genesis in Iraq and Afghanistan, where guys, like soldiers, just told new guys saying, like, yeah, it sucks here. The best thing to do with it is just to make the best of it, embrace the suck. So it means, you know, essentially you mean make the best of a bad situation. And the time that you spend doing CrossFit can be like, you know, the while you're doing it, you know, the 8, 10, 12 minutes, whatever, can feel awful. It can just, you know, be truly miserable. But if you make the best of it, then the results can be pretty great. And that's what I'm trying to get across in the book.
So now, one of the great things about the book too is it's very, like, you know, it's kind of your personal journey with this. So I'm going to walk through some of that a little bit. What age were you when you first did it, when you did this for the first time? Were you first were introduced to it or saw like, okay, I tried it out, and then how long until you're like, okay, this is what I want. I'm into this.
I guess I was 42 when I first came across it. I was the editor-in-chief of Bicycling Magazine at the time, and was riding a lot, and I was in great cycling shape. But that's pretty much all I did was just, you know, ride the bike, and had let a lot of other types of fitness fall by the wayside, and sort of had this epiphany one night when I was tried to get up off the couch to go get another glass of wine, and I couldn't do a sit up, and I thought, you know, it might be time to start adding something to the training regimen besides cycling. And my wife Anne, who had read this article in the Times about this crazy thing called CrossFit, and said, you know, you ought to check this out. And I did, and it was all these functional movements that I was really, that I knew I needed. You know, it's CrossFit's all about getting you ready to do real stuff. Like, you would never just sit at a machine and do a biceps curl, because, you know, like pretty much the only thing in life you ever do that requires you to do a biceps curl is drink. And,
which is not insignificant for what it's worth.
Well, it's not insignificant, but, you know, you get a lot of reps, but it tends to be at a lower weight, you know, like a liter of beer. Yeah. A liter of beer is 2 pounds.
So. Yeah, a lower weight for you, maybe.
So I started trying to do it, just like watching the videos on the website and trying to do it in my garage or at work. At the gym at work, and it was just almost impossible because I found that I lacked flexibility and strength in all these areas, and yet I found it really addicting, and kept coming back to it, and came back to it often enough that I decided, again, through the good graces of my wife, who bought me a certification course to go learn more about it, and become a certified trainer, so I could teach it to other people. But mostly what I was interested in was just learning it for my own benefit and, my own performance in my little gym in my garage. And that was like, that whole thing started at the end of 2005. And so I guess it's been almost 9 years with, you know, at the start, still like a pretty moderate, you know, I do that, and I do all kinds of other stuff, mostly cycling. But then, you know, in the last few years, it's been pretty much all I've done is CrossFit and some obstacle course races and some swimming.
So you know, I mean, I remember first hearing for CrossFit since then. Like, you've been doing CrossFit and been a part of this pretty in-depth for a considerable period of time, and have been able to kind of watch this thing become, you know, almost a movement in a lot of ways. And when you talk about it like, you know, it's a work, and it is, of course, but it's also, you know, it is funny when I talk to a lot of people that have done it, they really talk often about how it really has changed their lives. They feel like it's actually changed, which I think scares some people, but I do think it does, why do you think it has taken off so much? Like, I was in Kauai for vacation, and like Kauai has like 8 businesses in a lot of places, and one of them was a CrossFit studio. I mean, like it has come so huge across the board. What has it been like to watch that kind of happen? Did you expect that to happen? And do you think it's been good or bad for necessarily how CrossFit works?
I didn't expect it, but it's not like I spent a lot of time thinking about it, but I'm not surprised by the fact that it's grown the way it has. And I think it's good, you know. It's like, look, anytime you get rapid growth, you're going to have probably dilution of what the concept is all about. But by and large, it's remained pretty true to the goal, which is just training people for sort of real life situations and just to be ready for pretty much anything that life could throw at you. And And I think that's good. You know, it's like, is the quality of the coaching consistent all the way across? You know, no, there are places, but it's like anything, you know, you go to places and, you know, the pizza's better at one place than it is at the other, and that's going to happen with any kind of business. And, you know, make no doubt, it is a business.
And so when you, what are some of the, you know, the book is like full of kind of these funny anecdotes and kind of like people going through the process. Well, I'm curious, just from your experience, what's the, like, was there ever a time, are you now, like, it feels like once you've done an exercise you've done something like this for that long, like, is it a constant challenge to yourself? Because, like, you know, I run a lot, you know, and, like, you know, I'll be like, oh, and obviously it's not the same, but, you know, I've run a half marathon, and then I was like, you know what? I am not running a full marathon. I'm not, like, that's just something I know about myself now.
Amen.
I enjoy doing a half marathon. I would like to do another one someday. I've done two, but I will not be doing two in succession. That's just not something that's going to happen. And so, but for me, part of me feels bad about that because it's just a little thing that I just know I'm not going to push myself to do. When you've done CrossFit as long as this, is there a situation where, like, how do you keep finding new challenges, or do you?
Yeah, you definitely find new challenges. I mean, when you get into it enough, it's, you know, one of the things that people from sort of typical athletic backgrounds, not CrossFit about, is that, like, everyone's so supportive and encouraging. And, you know, I find that hilarious that people would knock people in a community for being encouraging. But it does sort of turn things on its head, because it's not me against you, it's you and me against the workout. And the workouts are so hard, right, that you know, you can never get it completely right. You know, you could always have a little more weight on the bar, you could always have run a little bit faster, you could have always had your setup a little bit different, you could have always done it better. So there's always room for improvement, I think. And I think that's what keeps people coming back, and it's certainly what keeps me coming back, is that there's always a way to get better at it.
So a lot of this too is a lot of the book is kind of your journey through this. I think that's one of the reasons that, like, I know you, and I not only like you, I like your writing. So like, you know, even if this weren't a topic that I had a natural kind of fascination with, I would be kind of into it from that aspect. What are the main things that you kind of, and talk about this in the book a little bit, but, you know, talk for the podcast, but you get to get the real story, guys, you're going to have to buy it. And so just don't get, you know, greedy. But yeah, don't worry that I haven't done your intro for this podcast yet, but it's really just me saying, buy it and reading out the full Amazon URL, even down to the zeros and Z's and sixes and backslashes. They're going to buy this damn thing. So riveting radio, by the way, when you read a full Amazon URL. Anyway, we talk about this in the book a little bit, but, like, what kind of things do you learn about yourself, just, like, personally, outside of just like what you're capable of? Like, it is a common thing. Like, people are not a like dramatically different person after they start CrossFit, but they certainly, like, tend to see almost like an enhanced, like, honed version of themselves. Did you have that experience? Have you seen a lot of people that have had that experience?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had that experience, and I know people who have had, you know, it's almost a conversion experience. And that's why people who do CrossFit tend to be pretty, you know, have this zeal about it that can be really a pain in the ass to other people. Like, you know, the last thing in the world I'd want to do would be to have a window seat on an airplane and have two CrossFitters sitting in the middle seat and the aisle seat, because, you know, just because you can just get proselytized. But the reason people are so into it, and the reason they want to, you know, spread the good news, is that it tends to have dramatic effects on people's lives. Because the community is supportive, because the results can be pretty dramatic, and because all of a sudden people are doing stuff they never thought they could do, you know, like pull-ups or muscle-ups or, you know, double-unders or stuff, things that people had just said, like, you know, I'm not an athlete, I can't do it. I made a trailer for the book, and I shot it at this gym in Seattle with some friends, and one of the guys in the video is, you know, he's pushing a sled with 450 pounds, you know, like the whole sled weighs 450 pounds, and he's pushing this thing up and down like it's nobody's business. And, you know, I said to him, this is like the one guy in the gym I didn't know, and I said to him, what's your athletic background? He said, I don't have one. I was just like always a nerdy drama kid. And I just kind of walked into one of these gyms and turns out that I'm really strong and fast, and he's really fast. I mean, it was pretty cool. And I think that's the thing that turns people on about it. It's like, I never knew I could do this stuff, and now look at me. When's I think you're more likely to find those kind of stories in most gyms than you are to find guys who say, like, I mean, the place I train at's a little different because, you know, it's like one of the first members of this gym was a guy who's in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame, who's just like a freakishly good athlete. That's not the norm. The norm is more like, you know, the kid from the drama club who turns out can climb ropes like crazy.
Yeah, or the blogger, say.
Yeah.
the pencil-necked blogger. Got it. I see what you're saying.
I took off the Superman pajamas and left my mom's basement. Turns out I can do
in reality. In reality, but never in spirit. I'm curious. And one of the things I do find fascinating, again, and I asked for this earlier, but I really find this. I'm going to ask a specific question to get to the heart of this because I'm fascinated by how hard after doing it as long. Because again, you know, you still seem to me, because you were doing CrossFit so much before I had even heard of CrossFit, like you seem like an original member. You're like to me. Like, here's my question. When's the last time you puked either before, not before, but either during or after a workout?
It was during a race at the end of September.
That's very recently. Wow.
I went to do this race. It's like an obstacle. You do a workout, a CrossFit workout, and then you run an obstacle course over 4 miles. I did it. It's called the Civilian Military Combine, and I did it with a bunch of guys from my gym. A bunch of middle-aged men. We went out and did it. And we stood around in the hot sun for like 3 hours before we did the race. And the early morning breakfast we had left us, and it had been replaced with stupid amounts of Gatorade. And so we did this workout, and it was great. And the sun's beating down, and we run this course, and that's great too. And we got to the second to the last obstacle, which was a 15-foot rope, and you had to climb up the rope, ring a bell at the top, and then slide back down. And I got to the rope, and I climbed the rope. It wasn't pretty, but I got to the top, and I rang the bell, and I got back down, and I started running again. And just for some reason, I thought, here it comes. I'm done. I don't think I got anything in my stomach except that Gatorade, and here it comes. And I just stepped to the side of the track and puked for 3 minutes. Get it out of me and finish the race. So, yeah, it's a great sport, huh?
I have to say, I've lost all respect for you. You're a weakling. That's all I can take away from that story. So weak. I thought you were strong, and now can't even describe what you did, let alone think about how much I would vomit doing it.
People ask me about like why do you puke? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it's something about my physiology or what, but I always have. I've been a few.
But I mean, it seems, from what I understand, you know, it's not like you're the only person puking when you do this. This is not an uncommon reaction.
No, in fact, there was an early CrossFit mascot called Pukey the Clown, which was, you know, just an acknowledgement of the fact that you worked out so hard that you puked, and here's your T-shirt with Pukey the Clown on it. I don't think they talk about that quite so much, but it's definitely part of the culture. I don't think it's like no one's encouraging you to puke,
right?
But if you do puke, you do tend to get like a fist bump,
right?
As long as you keep working out, right. As long as you finish the workout, right?
Entirely different kind of boot and rally. But yes, so for the record, I'm trying to imagine what could possibly be worse after a grueling workout or a grueling race, and at the you made it and you've challenged yourself and you've conquered this workout and you're so strong and you feel so great, and then waiting for you at the finish line is someone named Pukey the Clown.
Yep.
Where
big flat shoes, rubber nose. Great.
Was this just one guy, or was it like things would start and they'd be like, okay, who's Pukey today? Oh, that's not, I'm always Pukey. Don't make me dress up as Pukey today. I have two more major things I want to get to, because one thing is related to general fear of death and the atrophy and decay of the human condition. You know, again, I keep comparing it to running because it's the lame ass exercise that I do, but I'm 39 years old. And, I drink probably more than I should, but I don't have horrible eat habits. And I run about 25, 26, 27 miles a week. And so it's not bad. I do okay. But like, I feel like that's the only thing keeping me from weighing like 350 pounds. Like the leeches are a big boned people. And I have this constant fear that I'm gonna sprain my ankle. Or I'm just gonna get old, something's gonna break down because this is what happens when you get old. And I know that obviously a lot of CrossFit, I'm sure you, I think I've talked to you on this podcast before about like the people do CrossFit into their 70s, like and like this is still something people do for like a long period of time in their lives. But like when something is this large of a part of your life, I guess that's always that fear is, what like what do you not only the fear of injury, but the idea that like. When you're not able to, are you, how are you able to do as well today as you did 6 years ago? Are there just things you can't do anymore? Are you better? Are you worse? Do you worry that you'll lose a little bit as you get older, that this large part of your life will not be able to be a large as large a part of it?
Wow, that's a heavy question.
Yeah, I'm a deep guy.
Yeah, you're a big thinker. I have to say that my performance has ebbed and flowed. The weights, the amount of weight I can lift is currently at an all-time high for me. But that's because lifting weights involves like you have to have the form down properly. When you're younger, you can just I guess you can just muscle it. But as you get older, you have to rely more on form. And I've become a student, not certainly not a master, but a student of correct form of weightlifting, and as a result, the amount of weight I can lift has gone up. So that's pretty cool. What hasn't gone up, or what has gone up, are my running times. I just, I'm just getting slower, and I'd like to be able to explain that somehow. I'd like to be able to say it's a function of age or something, but I don't know what it is. It's just really frustrating. But you write a book, probably the second question people ask you write the book when you write a book is what's your next book going to be? And I would love to write a book about the fact that I know the exact day and time and place where I ran the fastest 400 meter run of my life, and it was more than 30 years ago. And every time I got on a track since then has been slower than that. And there's something to be said or thought about at least about like the constant recalibration of your expectations, and what that's all about. I think that if my weights weren't going up and my running times were still going up, I'd be despondent. But the fact that the weights are improving keeps me pretty happy. As for like what I would do if I weren't be able to do this, I don't know. It's such a constant part of my life, and the community that I'm involved in is such a part of my life, and it's an activity that my wife and I do together that I don't know. We'd have to come up with something else, I guess. Zumba looks pretty cool.
I may I suggest Risk? Risk is fun. People have fun playing Risk.
except for Australia.
Yeah.
Except,
Oh yeah.
Like, what do
Sorry.
you do
Yeah,
with
seriously, there's nothing. It's just there. I like the idea, though. It's good to know that. That's another example of how CrossFit is very much like life in a lot of ways, as a, I guess, and exercise in general. Because I like the phrase your usage of the phrase of the constant recalibration of expectations. Because I find myself like life, I think if I wasn't constantly recalibrating expectations in life, I would probably be despondent as well. So
Exactly.
that's a good. Otherwise, there down that road lies madness. One thing that I feel like is definitely growing, and I find fascinating to see the culture of it kind of expand. And now, I mean, it's televised now for crying out loud. Is the CrossFit Games? So you went? You didn't go to the most recent? Did you go to the most recent one or the most recent? How many have you been to? Just one?
I just went to the one in 2013.
2013. So what was
Yeah,
the
I haven't been to the 2014 now.
Now, for I have two questions about the CrossFit Games. Number one, what it's actually like to be there and to be a part of that. I'll just go ahead and answer that one, and then I'll ask my second one. Like what it's like to be
Wait, say
there
that.
and
Say
actually see it.
that again.
I know you're so used to me asking 8 questions that I stunned you when I only asked one. So
Exactly.
the first one is what, describe the experience of actually being at the CrossFit Games. What's that culture? Because this is not only like a CrossFit community, this is the top tier CrossFit community. What is it like there? I would imagine even like driving, even like as great and as powerful as you feel as a CrossFit competitor, seeing those guys would, I feel like I would just feel disgusting even if I had 1% body fat.
Yeah, so going to the CrossFit Games is pretty wild because it's like imagine that you went to the Super Bowl or the World Series, and everybody in the stadium played football. Like, I don't mean touch football or flag football. I mean everybody in the stadium was a player. Or you went to the World Series, and everybody there played baseball. Right, like not at some point in their life, but was a current baseball player. And so the just the feeling, because that's what the CrossFit Games like you like some random person wouldn't just say, hey, that's far out, I'm going to go to the CrossFit Games and check it out and like eat French fries while I'm there. That just doesn't happen. It's like people, the only people there are the people who do it, and so there's a level of knowledge and enthusiasm in the stands that's really contagious and carries over to the athletes and the performers. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see. But the other thing, you know, I think a lot of people look at the CrossFit Games that are on ESPN and say, like, you know, holy shit, I could never do that. And that's sort of the equivalent of watching, you know, the World Series and then saying, I couldn't play in the office softball league. You know, it's like these are professional athletes. They're the guys at the CrossFit Games, a lot of them own gyms, own boxes, and work out 2 or 3 times a day. And you know, they're professional athletes, and they get paid. You know, they don't get paid like baseball money, but they get paid a lot for their performances. And so, you know, they're professional athletes. And so, you know, for desk jockey like you or me to say like, oh, I couldn't do it because those guys are so good. It's like that's, you know, it's just not true. It's just not the way it is.
And as a, and this is the second question, as a spectator sport, because I've seen it on, and I find myself watching it out of curiosity and not being like bored. I definitely don't find it boring, but I do wonder, is that part of, you know, as CrossFit grows, and as I mean, CrossFit less is the sport and more CrossFit TM, is that something that they're concentrating on to make CrossFit Games a bigger thing, to make it more TV friendly, to make it more, or is that something, is that part of the growth thing for them, or is it really just kind of like a byproduct, like a, oh, here's a fun thing we do every year? How big is the CrossFit Games to CrossFit altogether?
Well, it's just like this massive marketing opportunity. You know, it's like they, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure that that's a paid buy, that CrossFit pays ESPN for that time, and they produce the broadcast and put it on. And so it's a huge marketing, opportunity for them, and people see it and say, wow, I wonder what that is. I want to get into it. My father-in-law, you know, he's like in his 70s. This guy will watch any sports on TV that you like, you know, just Division III women's basketball. If that's what's on, he'll watch it. He's not sitting and watching the CrossFit Games because he's looking at it and saying, like, what the hell is this? Why? What? You know, they're climbing ropes and doing push-ups. What's sport about that? And yet, for the people and the growing number of people who do it, and then they're like, hey, I want to watch that on TV. You know, it's like the Tour de France broadcast. It's like, you know, who geeks out and watches that? But it's, you know, almost exclusively cyclists.
Isn't part of the issue too that the way the CrossFit Games are set up, they really don't even announce what the competitions are until like fairly shortly before it starts, right?
Right, but that's part of the ethos of the activity is that like you're ready for anything.
Right.
Like you're so fit you can do whatever we throw at you, and that's why, you know, most CrossFitters don't swim, but you know the CrossFit Games the last couple of years have had a swimming component to it and a running component, and at one point they had a rucking component a couple of years ago, and so it's like, look, you know, we claim to be producing the fittest people on earth, and now's your chance to prove it.
So yeah, but that does seem like that would that. Like, so the point is, you don't think that like they don't, the CrossFit Games themselves, it's really just a marketing thing. Is which is nothing wrong with that, of course. I mean, the World Series is a marketing thing. But do the same people win it every year? Is it like is there that kind of like here's the champ, or has the competition aspect of it been like kind of streamlined where there's clearly the stars, or is it still kind of randomized like the early stages of of maybe the hot dog eating contest, for example?
No, it's I mean, I just want to be clear. It's like it's not nearly a marketing opportunity. It's the pinnacle of the sport.
Right.
Do it, and you compete like at your gym level, then you compete at a local level, then a regional level. And then, as you compete and succeed, then you qualify for the CrossFit Games in California. That's, it's very much, it starts at the local, at the gym level and goes up. So like you really are getting the best athletes, competing. They're the best stars of the sport. So it's, it's like, and there's a lot of money at stake. So it gives people something to train for, it gives you a goal to shoot for. Use a tired phrase, it's the Super Bowl of CrossFit. It's the Daytona 500 of CrossFit.
All right. Well, when is the next one?
It's always in July in California.
Okay. All right. Well, I will. I don't know if my DVR goes that far ahead, but I'll check. And if so, I will.
No,
it probably doesn't. Yeah, I guess
you should start training. Well.
Okay, so listen, this is what I'm saying. If you can convince me there is in fact a bicep curl for beverage pulling up, I'm on it. I'm already trained, frankly, on that one. Like,
yeah, that's true. You've got big guns. I've seen them.
Yeah, like. Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying I'm good at lifting the beer glass. I basically am like a CrossFit enthusiast for booze.
For cocktails, yes.
Think of me that way. I know. Sad.
You have tremendous range.
I do. Thank you. I'm versatile. Because that's the thing. Just like CrossFit, I need to be ready for whatever you throw at me. So you don't even tell me what's coming. I will be prepared for all of it. All right, Steve. I am honored. I'm very excited. I'm very glad I got to have you on. Obviously, you can pre-order the book on Amazon. But you're not pre-ordering for very long because this thing is on sale everywhere on Tuesday. Correct?
Tuesday, December 9th. Embrace the Suck, Amazon.com, finer bookstores everywhere, and the back of my car. I have a box of 100 in them. So yeah. If you're in Chatham, New Jersey, or anywhere in Morris County, let me know, and I will come and sell you a copy of the book. I can swipe it. I got one of those square register readers now. It's cool.
For what it's worth, I just for the people that are listening to be like, hey, I should do that, I'll warn you. I've fallen for the "I have something to sell you in the back of my car" trick from Madden before, so just to be wary. this is just to let you know. Next thing you know, it's like Thursday, and you don't know what happened at the time.
And you have a nickel taped to your forehead.
Yeah, and I'm missing a kidney. And I'm in a bathtub. All right, so the book is Embrace the Suck. Get it from Amazon or wherever books are sold. It is out on Tuesday. Also, make sure to follow Madden for updates about the book and everything else going on at smadden1, S-M-A-D-D-E-N. Steve, you're going to hang around for our dopey trivia on this, but we'll end this section of the podcast now. So, Steve, thank you for coming on. It was an honor to talk to you again. I'm not only do I like the book, I'm blurbed. I actually got to do a blurb for the book.
You blurbed the hell out of the book. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that you actually cutting down my original blurb because it was actually longer than the book itself. So I apologize. I get really excited to blurb. But seriously, it's a very entertaining book. And again, as someone that is definitely from the outside of the CrossFit world, I greatly enjoy it. I encourage everyone to go get it, whether you're into it or whether or not. It's certainly a great introduction. So Steve, thank you for coming on with me, and continue good luck with everything. And honestly, it was great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Okay, so we'll be back with Steve on trivia, I believe, on Wednesday. Of course, as you know, everyone knows on this podcast, it's really we're going to do trivia in like 20 seconds. But I'm just telling us on Wednesday to give the illusion of the passage of time. This is the Willis Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be back with trivia with Steve on Wednesday. Take care.